The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I am Seth Leibson. It is Wednesday, January 16th, 2019, for many, 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 many years now. The left has been on an assault against free speech at college campuses, and because these college graduates learn that the First Amendment means nothing in norms of speech and civil liberties are nothing less than secondary to a political ideology. So you can ban conservative thought or any kind of thought you do not like. Indeed, you can pelt speakers. There is no liberal that needs a security guard to give a talk on a college campus. But boy, if you're a conservative, you will either get banned or pelted, and you will require a lot of security if you can get through. Well, it has now reached the upper echelons in a place I did not think it would, and that is the House of Representatives. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, ironically titled Speaker of the House of Representatives, is attempting to prevent Donald Trump from giving his State of the Union address on January 29th. Indeed, she sent him a letter saying as much. According to the story from FNC, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi not only has tried to disinvite Donald Trump, suggesting he delay his speech until the government is reopened, but now is facing a backlash for the pretext upon which she based her letter, which is to say it is a threat, a security threat to the House of Representatives. As one of our callers put it earlier, isn't it additionally ironic that Nancy Pelosi seems to care more about her security than that of the American people? Here's the story. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is facing a mounting backlash from Republicans for urging President Trump to put off his State of the Union address until after the government shutdown ends. In a letter on Wednesday, today, she suggested Donald Trump either push back the scheduled address or submit the speech in writing, citing security concerns amidst the lapse in government funding. But security officials have pushed back on her claim, saying, we're prepared. And Republican officials scoffed at the idea, though the decision ultimately does rest with Nancy Pelosi. It's unbecoming of a speaker to do this, said Kevin McCarthy. House Minority Whip Steve Scalise urged the president to press forward, saying for Nancy Pelosi to withdraw the offer shows insecurity on their part and that they can't defend their open borders policy. The U.S. Secret Service was designated as the lead federal agency responsible for coordinating, planning, exercising, and implementing security for the national special security events, Pelosi wrote to the president. However, both the Secret Service and the Department of Homeland Security have not been funded for 26 days now. Problem. Major news outlets from NBC to including CNN have spoken with people at DHS, officials at DHS, including the secretary, Kirsten Nelson, and the Secret Service, all of whom are saying we are fully prepared to support and secure the State of the Union, that we have been preparing for the State of the Union long before 29 days ago. Interesting, isn't it, that the attempt to ban the president is now not just something that takes place at college campuses, but the House of Representatives, and indeed a national audience. As someone smart put out on Twitter, if you think you're winning a debate and that your opponent weakens his position the more he speaks, you let him speak at every opportunity. If you think you're losing and are worried that debate only helps your opponent, you do what Nancy Pelosi just did. As my friend Mark Krikorian at the Center for Immigration Studies put it, Pelosi definitely does not want the brother of the murdered police officer from her own state to be on national TV. That is to say, the brother of the slaughtered Ronald Singh, who probably would be at the State of the Union. Now, it does rest with Nancy Pelosi to do this, but this, I think, is an overreach and an overstretch on her part. And I think it is going to rebound horribly against the Democrats if the State of the Union is delayed, based on a pretext that every security official who has been quoted and interviewed said is not a real security threat. As I said, a listener here, a caller in the first hour, put it even better. Why is Nancy Pelosi care more about her security than that of the American people? Yeah, you would not stop the president from speaking in prime time in a national address if you thought you had the better argument. What is your position on this, folks? 602-508-0960. And the reason I ask you that is because some conservative writers, and I even had a caller say, they don't like the State of the Union anyway, and the president should just give his speech from the Oval Office. The only problem with that is, if it's not designated as a State of the Union address with the full regalia of the House of Representatives, there would be a little bit less incentive for the networks to carry it. Nonetheless, Donald Trump could very well do that. We are in virgin territory on so many things with this presidency. It would be, no more of an eyebrow raise to see that take place than anything else we've seen thus far. But I am convinced that Nancy Pelosi made a politically fatal mistake here. The idea of canceling a State of the Union on a pretext like this is really very much the theater of the absurd. Especially when you have on record security officials saying security is not the problem. Well, what is the problem? What is the problem? It's an odd view, isn't it, of the Democrats right now to talk about what security is a problem and what security isn't a problem. They invent the one and discount the other. Everyone knows that the security of the southern border is a problem, and they denounce that, or they renounce and deny that. On the other hand, they say that the security for themselves is a problem when it is not. This is exactly 180 degrees from what common sense would tell you. Identify what the threat is and deal with it. Right now, the threat that involves the illegal immigration debate is clearly the southern border, as well as everything else that one might want to talk about, from visa overstays to drug and sex trafficking. But they're denying it. They are saying that the idea of a southern solidifying a southern border is based on racism. On the other hand, you have the Secret Service and the Department of Homeland Security, who have expertise to the 10th degree on protecting the House of Representatives and the State of the Union that wasn't begun 29 days ago in its planning. And they're saying that that is a potential security threat because of the partial shutdown. It is not. Wayne is in Phoenix. Wayne, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm well, sir. How about you?
I'm well. Thank you.
I was just wanted to comment in reference to the Nancy Pelosi statement.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good idea if maybe we had a few more drones flying over the Capitol at the time. Maybe that would be enough security, since it's apparently sufficient at the border.
It's a funny thing, I mean, Wayne, isn't it? I mean, have you been to Washington, D.C. before? Have you visited the House of Representatives?
I have been there for President Obama's inauguration when I was working with the TSA.
Well, you know how darn well protected these things are. And yeah, some of it is overflight, but not much. Most of it is right there on the ground with security officials and what? Barriers, right?
Exactly.
Barriers, physical barriers. Anyone who has ever lived at the White House has availed themselves of them, obviously, as anyone who has ever lived at the Naval Observatory, that is to say every vice president of the United States has availed themselves of it, and anyone who works in, whether you are a legislative assistant or whether you are a member of the House or Senate, has huge barriers to get through before they can even enter.
Correct. And I'd also like to say that I think it's appalling that the Democratic Party and or their leadership would try to prevent American citizens from observing their president or watching what the president has to communicate to the people and take that right away from us simply because they have a disagreement.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And it's as I was saying, this is the problem we have been decrying at the universities, and now I guess social media, and by that I mean obviously Facebook, Twitter, Google, things like that. That the left has been acting as censors, not censors, but censors against conservative speech. Now you have, ironically, the Speaker of the House trying to censor the President of the United States. It's a very, very odd place to be, isn't it?
It's very odd, and it's very disturbing.
Thank you for your call, Wayne.
Thank you, sir.
602-508-0960. What do you think of this latest ploy? Could you imagine a Republican ever thinking to suggest, possibly even suggest, that the president could not give a State of the Union address? 602-5080-960. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. There is an odd thing going on where the Speaker of the House is trying to prevent the President of the United States from speaking in his State of the Union address scheduled for January 29th. Ed is in Scottsdale on this. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Seth. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
It's funny because you use the word that she's trying to censor the president, and when this new congresswoman who used the MF word against the president, I saw a clip of Pelosi saying, "Oh, I'm not in the censorship business." And
yes,
I don't know,
right. Nice connection.
Apparently she is in the censorship business, but. Which is actually my real point. There was also on your news clip two cycles ago where I guess someone said that the VA was not answering the suicide hotline and veterans are dying. And the VA, head of VA, had to come out and categorically say that's a bunch of garbage because we're open for business and nothing has changed. And my point, Seth, is a little... as a precedent to this latest kerfuffle, which is, you know, we're going to have these for another 2 years, which is the way it's going to be. But the problem that I have with our government is the incessant lying that goes on. And I mean, not just the government, but the media, the government. Lots of people feel perfectly free to just blatantly lie without any substance or basis in fact, and this has become the norm in our society, and I think it's extremely dangerous, especially for the government to do it, because what can you believe if that's the way things are?
Yeah, you make a good point, Ed. What can you believe, and who do you believe? I think it's going to come out. That's putting it too lightly. It has already come out that Nancy Pelosi was playing fast and loose with the truth about there being a
right.
security problem with the State of the Union address. Everyone from the head of the Department of Health Homeland Security to Secret Service is now saying there is no security threat for the State of the Union. First of all, why would you cause this panic? Why would you cause this panic and clamor in about a national institution, which is the State of the Union address? Now, it's true. They weren't always delivered this way. And once upon a time, they were delivered in writing as messages to Congress, but not in a long, long, long time, not in our lifetimes.
Right.
Why would you play fast and loose with the truth on that? If you can't believe her in this, at what point do you believe her, and at what level will they not stoop to silence our side? I think it is an incredible power grab to tell the president that we have to reschedule, postpone, or cancel the State of the Union address based on no fact. Based on no fact.
Right. And
go ahead. I think she overplayed this hand. But, Ed, it's your first comment that has me really interested here and intrigued, because when you said she was defending, who was it, Rashida Tlaib, who
Tlaib
made that?
Whatever her name is, yeah.
I think it's Tlaib, T-L-A-I-B. In any event, when she was defending her, saying, I'm not a censor, you know, I think Nancy Pelosi has a real problem with this new collection of socialists who have been elected to the House of Representatives. Excuse me. She has a real problem because they're the ones getting all the media. They're the ones getting all the attention. It is far more interesting for an Anderson Cooper or even a Chuck Todd, if you will, to interview Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Sheeta Tlaib or any of these new upstarts than it is to interview Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi only does talking points, and you know what she's going to say every time you ask her a question. She's going to say the same thing. It's not interesting. It's not new, and it's hardly news. Once upon a time, she was a good get, as they say. She was a good interview. She's not anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think Steny Hoyer is either, and I don't think Chuck Schumer is. But Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as much as we disagree with her, she's interesting. You don't know what you're going to get, right? You don't know what she's going to say, and she's going to get your ratings. Nancy Pelosi has a huge problem. So she's at one time, with one hand, trying to control that new rump, if you will, while on the other hand, she is trying to maintain her power and do the next interesting thing so that she can reclaim her Q rating. And this is something no one would have saw coming. This is something no one would have predicted. Who would have predicted that Nancy Pelosi would try and cancel the State of the Union address?
Right. So you have two options. You can either cry or enjoy it as entertainment.
Well, you make a good point, Ed. I mean, part of it is entertaining, and the other thing, though, is that it's all about a very serious issue, an extremely serious issue, which is ongoing crime, ongoing tremendous expense to a system that can hardly afford it. You were talking about the Veterans Affairs Department,
right?
You know, one of the arguments a friend of mine made about illegal immigration was, I'll be fine with more immigration when you tell me that the VA has all the money it needs to pay back all the people we promised to pay back and give them all the services we guaranteed we would give them. You know, that's a pretty good argument. One of every five students in the public education system in California is an illegal immigrant. Do not talk to me about classroom size. Do not talk to me about breaking the education funding system if you are going to allow that to continue, right? When we can deal with everyone who we were promised, who we gave promises to, and we have enough money for that, we're in the black on that, then we can talk about perhaps being a little bit more lax at the entry points. But until then, we have some serious problems in this country.
If you've got one more minute,
I do.
I'll tell you my immigration plan. We should get buses down at the border, you know, where the folks are coming in, and we should put them on a bus and give them, you know, kind of give them whatever they need, food, box lunches, and all the water, drive them up to California, start in Palo Alto, and start at the first house you get to and drop off two of the immigrants and say, we're exercising eminent domain.
No, but see, I hear from time to time someone will say, yeah, let's give California what they really want. But the problem with that is, obviously, aside from the tongue-in-cheek nature of it, tremendous loss of resources and the fact that, you know, as Lincoln said, it's all our country. This is one country, you know. If California wants to exercise idiocy, they have to live with that. But, you know, we have a national and a federal program at play here. And the idea that we can collect at buses even is dumbfounding, given the notion that, you know, it requires more personnel to do it. You know, we're busting the budgets as it is. We don't need to make states worse. But, you know, I love that story John Campbell told about the cost of McDonald's in California versus Arizona. It's almost 100%. Incredible. Mike, don't go away. We'll be right back. 602-508-0960. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. The Speaker of the House is trying to prevent the President from speaking. That's the irony of Nancy Pelosi trying to delay or cancel the State of the Union address on the pretext, interestingly enough, of her own security, not the country's security, but her own security. What's your thought on this? Mike is in Scottsdale. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Appreciate you taking my call. I wanted to talk about Nancy Pelosi and her oath to protect the Constitution. But before I did that, I wanted to just remind you, I'm the guy that calls occasionally and asks you to play John Wayne's Hyphenated American.
Which we do, right? We've done it a couple times.
You do.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled. Thank you.
You
every
bet.
Time I call, you do. And
it's a really good thing, that speech he gives, that talk. It's really,
wonderful.
Really good. And I don't know if I even ever knew of it until you recommended it. So I want to thank you for that.
And it's great to play occasionally, and especially now that we've got a new mass of South Americans headed our way. I think it would be a good time to play it. I wanted to just thank you also for your station. It is great listening to greatness debate.
Oh, thanks, Mike. Thanks.
So anyway, on Nancy Pelosi,
yes, sir.
I have just always thought all of these people, everybody, all the way down to the police department, the sheriff's department, all the way up to the president, they all take an oath to protect the Constitution.
Protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, you betcha.
From bad people, foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the State of the Union address is a constitutional law. And if it is, I believe she's going against her oath by having the president hold off on giving it, as well as trying to protect the country by putting up a border and or other things. They need to protect the border. They want the border to be overrun. They want everybody just to open border. And I think that's going against her oath to protect the country from foreign, bad people. So and then also shutting down the country, that's not protecting the country either. And I could go on and on other things.
You could. You absolutely could.
Protecting Hamas and protecting, Syria and all these other things that they do is opposite of what they should do to protect our country. It goes against their oath. So now my question is, who is that? They should be put in jail for that.
Well, no court will do that because they'll say these are political questions and they'll punt it, particularly on the latter examples. But you're absolutely right. The president needs to raise the Constitution and say Article 2, Section 3 tells any president that he has not just the right to, but shall from time to time give Congress a State of the Union message. Now, it has, excuse me, in fairness to history, it hasn't always been televised, and a lot of people don't like that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The idea that she could cancel it or suspend it or delay it based on the pretext of security where there is no threat, according to the security officials, I think is a huge overreach and a huge overstep on her part. I think you're going to watch Nancy Pelosi doing more and more of this to try and reclaim the spotlight from the Tlaibs and the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes and the Ilhan Omars. That's what I think. I think you're going to see her trying more and more of these stunts. But it is also interesting, isn't it, to think about who tries to silence someone and who doesn't. You don't try and silence someone if you think you have the better argument. And clearly, I think she is losing this argument. I think she thinks she's losing this argument. For her to reach to the main issue we have been talking about for the purpose of solidifying our border security is highly ironic as well.
Well, who is it that's supposed to go after these people, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Hillary's?
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, Mike. They will consider it a political question. It's not going to happen.
I know it's not.
Yeah.
I know.
You have to refer it to the Department of Justice or the U.S. Attorney. It's just not going to happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just
but
not
that, that, and so that's who's responsible.
Yeah, it's just not. Yeah, it'll never happen. But I think you can shame them and win them politically, win over the issue politically on this. Yeah.
I hope so.
No. You're not going to get Pelosi on treason any more than you're going to get her on what was the unenforced law that's been on the books from the beginning of time when she when they meet with foreign leaders over and against the president. She met with Assad over and against the wishes and requests of the Bush administration, the Logan Act. That's it. Yeah, it's just these things go unenforced, unfortunately. I'm Seth Leibson, 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Peter Kersenow from the Civil Rights Commission writes that there are basically three primary contentions the Democrats make about solidifying the border. One, it is immoral. Two, it doesn't work. A wall or barrier system doesn't work. Three, that it is racist. It's this issue of racism that I don't want conservatives or anyone who supports the notion of sovereignty or a solidified southern border to shrink from. As Kersenow points out, the same progressives who maintain that a wall is racist are utterly silent about the adverse impact of illegal immigration on black Americans. More than any other group in America, blacks are harmed by the influx of illegal immigrants. Numerous studies outline the economic impact of illegal immigration on black employment and wages. Hundreds of thousands of black workers have been displaced due to competition from low-skilled illegal immigrants, particularly in the service, hospitality, construction, and agricultural sectors of the economy. Yet not one protest from members of the Congressional Black Caucus, who have anointed themselves the guardians of black interests. Nothing from the Democratic Party that takes black votes for granted. Nothing from members of news media who breathlessly broadcast any racial disparity under some version of the headline, "World Ends, Women and Minorities Hardest Hit." In contrast to neutral policies that have an unintentional racial impact, however, the failure to secure our borders happens with knowledge of, but indifference to, the fact that blacks are particularly harmed by illegal immigration. Blacks simply can't compete with progressive hatred of Trump and desire to enhance their electoral progress and prospects. That would be a very good argument for someone to make more of. And I think the person who should really be doing that is Jason Riley. I don't think we have time today. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. He of the Wall Street Journal has a great Prager University lecture on the new civil rights versus the old civil rights. It's posted, I suppose, in that yesterday was Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. We will officially celebrate that birthday, I guess, as a country on this upcoming Monday. But I'm also simply not going to take seriously the notions of racism when we're not talking about banning races by solidifying the border. We're talking about protecting our country from anyone of any race who comes here against the law. I also am waiting for someone to ask the next leftist from Hollywood the next time a Republican majority or president is elected and they threaten to move to Canada, how come they never say they plan to move to Mexico? Why is that? I really have to wonder. I really have to ask. Do you remember several months ago that there was a series of op-eds, that there was an op-ed in the New York Times? A series of people started guessing about it. It was written by someone named Anonymous. It was written by some supposedly high-level Trump administration official who was saying that despite all the chaos you read about or hear about, there are several of us in the administration that are keeping, you know, our oars in the water and keeping the boat on a steady stream. No one ever figured out who this was. We don't know who this author was, but it was out there like a grenade that just exploded and created, you know, a week's worth, a week and a half's worth of talk, of chatter. Well, there was another anonymous letter, op-ed that was written, and it didn't get nearly the same attention. It was written in the Daily Caller, which was founded by Tucker Carlson. Are you guys familiar with it? It was just published, I believe it was published just the day before yesterday. He says, he's writing anonymously. He says, as one of the senior officials working without a paycheck, a few words of advice for the president's next move at shuttered government agencies. lock the doors, sell the furniture, and cut them down. Federal employees are starting to feel the strain of the shutdown. I know I am one of them. But for the sake of our nation, I hope it lasts a long time till the government is changed and does not return to its previous form. The lapse in appropriations is more than a battle over a wall. It is an opportunity to strip wasteful government agencies for good. On an average day, roughly 15% of the employees around me are exceptional patriots serving their country. I wish I could give competitive salaries to them and no one else. But a much greater percentage feel no pressure to produce results. If they don't feel like doing what they are told, they don't. Why would they? We can't fire them. They avoid attention, plan their weekend, schedule vacation, their second job, their next position. Some do this in the same position for more than a decade. They do nothing that warrants punishment and nothing of external value. That is their workday. Errands for the sake of errands, administering, refining, following, and collaborating on process. Process is your friend, is what delusional civil servants tell themselves. Even senior officials must gain approval from every rank across their department, other agencies, and work units for basic administrative chores. Process is what we serve. Process keeps us safe. Process is our core value. It takes a lot of people to maintain the process. It provides jobs. In fact, there are process experts and certified process managers who protect the process. Then there are the 5% with moxie, career managers. At any given time, they can change, clarify, or add to the process, even to distort or block policy counsel for the president. On and on he goes, making the larger point, of course, that I have made before, which is, although we have not seen majorities switch just yet, I think in combination with the common sense of it all, and in combination with the lack of feeling anyone is having towards the partial government shutdown, and now with the added step of Nancy Pelosi trying on a pretext to cancel the State of the Union address of the president, the hand is going to be overplayed, and this is going to lead to a victory here on our side. Les is in Phoenix. Hi, Les.
Hi, Seth. If my memory serves me correctly, Thomas Jefferson never gave a verbal oral State of the Union address to Congress, but he submitted one every year.
All of them did none of them gave verbal ones until who would have been the first? I don't remember my history well enough to remember who the first was, but it might not have been until FDR.
I think there were some before that, but my memory is a little foggy here now too. But that was interesting, and the reason he didn't give one there too was because he had a speech impediment, so he tried to stay away from a lot of public group discussions in Thomas Jefferson. One thing I would say about, I don't like to watch anybody give State of the Union address, and I don't like a lot of this stuff. What I do is I'd like to read the speech when it comes out.
Sure.
Forget about the intonation. Most people won't do that or can't do that. And of course, I don't do it all the time on every one of them. But my preference is you read it, and then you get away from the body language and the nuances, and then you're just going after the words, which in my mind,
yeah, a lot of people said they don't, you know, they're getting a little tired of it. But you know, that should be, look, it is as one of our callers put it earlier, Article 2, Section 3 in the Constitution, the president's obligation to deliver it, and he should not be censored by the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and certainly not on a pretext of security that no security official is standing behind or saying is true. And I believe the meal has to be made out of the fact that she is talking about this pretext of security for herself, though it is a lie, at the discount of the security for the rest of the nation on this very issue. The ironies abound. We'll be right back. Take seriously what is written in the hallways of the classrooms, for they will someday end up in the halls of Congress, goes a saying. And I think it is a telling moment of the day, a telling moment of the age, where we once had to concern ourselves with censorship in the colleges and universities. It then took us to having to deal with censorship by those recent college graduates on social media, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, including censorship of radio hosts on Twitter. It's a story I didn't get to about a colleague of ours named Lars Larson. You should look up, and if you don't have a chance, I'll talk more about it tomorrow. And now, indeed, we are seeing that effort and attempt in the halls of Congress. Ironically, as I pointed out, via the Speaker of the House of Representatives, trying to silence the President of the United States on the pretext of security, which even security officials are saying is not an issue. Notice, security is always the issue that is claimed and the pretext that is used at the college and university level to keep conservative speakers from campus. In trying to delay or cancel the State of the Union address of the president, I do understand the argument that these states of the union have become too much. But that really should not come from the fiat of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, particularly when the country should hear from their president on the state of the partial government shutdown and the state of all of our security, which is real and not a pretext. Until tomorrow, I'm Seth Leibson, and class is dismissed.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.